gentlemen, thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. After the presentation, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. If anyone would like to ask a question, please press star one. Today's conference is being recorded. If anyone has any objections, you may disconnect at this time. Now, I would like to introduce your leader for today, Mr. Jerry Welch, Cevoli Security Sales Leader for the U.S. West. Sir, you may begin.
All right. Thanks much, and thank you for taking the time this morning to listen to this TSVM Tivoli talk, or thank you for the late afternoon if you're in Europe. So Tivoli Sales Enablement was looking for a way to simplify the Tivoli Security Policy Manager message. As I can be simple, and we sold a decent amount of TSVM in the West U.S., the brand has asked me to present this morning. So Sridhar is also here to add additional commentary and for Q&A. So last year in the West, we started asking customers about policy management and fine-grained authorization. I would throw out words such as exactimal and entitlements and look for either interest or confusion from our clients. Looking back, I don't believe I actually understood truly what TSVM really did. However, we understood the problem, we understood the business value of the product, and we knew the vernacular to go ask the right questions of our clients to look for these opportunities. We would find the opportunities, and then we would bring in the big guns such as Sridhar, Ravi, and developers such as Eric Wood, who were critical to actually winning the deals. This is the point of this Tivoli talk. My objective for the call is that you walk away knowing that you can make money on this product, that you understand the business reason for TSVM, you know the questions to go ask to help you find the opportunities, and most importantly, you know who to call to get more help on it. So if you clicked on the red button in the invite in the sales flash, then you should have the invite on your calendar, and then in the calendar invite is the link to download the slides. So I hope you all have the slides in front of you. And so, okay, I know it's going to be a pain, but you will definitely want to watch the presentation in slideshow view. Otherwise, I probably wasted a few hours learning how to do advanced motion techniques on PowerPoint, and quite frankly, it's going to be a lot easier to grasp if you open up and go through the animations. If you're a business partner on the call and you download it for Partner World, you may not have the final deck, but it's close enough to follow along. All right, so if you can go ahead and flip to slide two, this is just to map back what we're talking about to the overall Tivoli security strategy that we're focused on these days. There's Tivoli Identity and Access Assurance, which is primarily around TIM and TAM, single sign-on, identity and access management, and then down at the bottom is mainframe security, and right in the middle is what we're talking about today, data and application security, going beyond just identity and access management, but down to the data level and the application level. You could then please flip to slide three. So what's the business driver, first of all, that's creating a challenge for our customer? Challenges for our customers that don't have a product such as TSVM. The challenge is that compliance and business policies are driving customers to protect information at a more granular or data level. Identity management, you know, has historically been great at determining who should have access to a specific application. Access management does a very fine job at providing access to the application and providing single sign-on. However, customers are being driven to make decisions down to a data level, to a more detailed level. So here's an example I'll provide. If you've heard of Octomom, this is a single mom that recently had eight children. So several people were canned at a hospital in Los Angeles over allegations that they were snooping around her medical records. Maybe they were snooping around possibly to sell to the media. This could have resulted in huge fines for this hospital under HIPAA compliance. If they had basic identity and access management, these individuals probably had access to the applications appropriately. But they probably needed some policies at a more granular level to say, you know what, maybe all the medical staff shouldn't have access to all the records. What if you could set a policy at a more detailed level to say a medical personnel, a doctor or a nurse, should only have access to the Octomom's patient records if Octomom is their specific patient? And so some other examples we provided on this slide is detailed levels such as call center agents being able to access customer records overall, but maybe not specific personal privacy information within that record. Insurance agents and doctors having access to different portions of a specific patient record based on their role. Insurance agents may be able to look at claims, but doctors can look at the specific medical condition that they've provided the claim for. And then claims approvers. Maybe they can view all the claims, but they can only approve their own claims, and if the value is 25% of the insured value. Okay, if we can go and move to the next slide, slide four. So this business driver is creating the following problem for our clients. And once again, this is the problem for our clients that don't have a solution such as TSPM. So somebody, the way this works is that somebody on the business side works with the compliance office and the security office to determine what policies they need need around authorization. So they determine, using some of those examples in the previous slide, they determine that maybe doctors and insurance agents should have different levels of access within the application to a particular record. So the business and the compliance office determines that's what the policy should be. They then send that policy over to the architects and to the application developers for the applications that are developed internally, and they say, okay, go inject this policy into the application so the application can make this decision on who should have access to the specific data. The problem is that these developers then go in and say, okay, in order to make these changes, I have to open up the application, I have to rewrite the code, I have to recompile the code, and then I have to test the code, and this is going to take, say, 2 or 3 months. And then they send an email back or a letter back to the compliance office, to the business, to the security office, say, we can go and make these changes, but it's going to take 3 months, and internally we're going to charge you, say, $100,000 to make these changes. So that's the challenge. The driver's there that they have to put the policies in there to protect the data, but how do they actually go about doing it? And so the other problem is every time these policies change, they have to go through this process again, costing more time and money. There's also a risk that when this policy goes from the business to the application developers, that somehow it's lost in translation. They misinterpret what the business wanted. They put the wrong policy in there, driving a potential risk for the business. And then lastly, there's a service issue, that there's no central means of managing changing policies. You have these policies for the various applications, but there's no central means of reviewing them from an audit perspective, and it's incredibly inefficient. So once again, that's the challenges they face without a product such as TSPM. All right, on the next slide, it's slide 5. If you could just, if you've got it set up right, you should see that it's pretty much blank in the middle there. So I'm going to provide a graphical representation of what we're talking about here. On the left side is Mike Stevens, who's the security administrator. So he determines that they need a particular policy. In this case, the policy is claims approver can view all claims but only approve their own claims if the value is less than 25% of the insured value. Mike Stevens provides that policy to Jose Fuentes over on the right, the application programmer. And you can see he looks a little distraught there. So he's asking the question, how many levels of access granularity does Jose need to code? He needs to determine how is he going to code this, which applications does this policy need to be coded in, and how long is that going to take and what effect on the applications. So there you can see the applications are in the orange box, and we've drawn some examples of accounts, claims, call center, and records. The sort of, I guess, bluish-purplish square is to represent code related to authorization policies that Jose would either have to go in and code in the application or potentially change already in the application itself. So that's a portion of the work related to developing these in-house applications. So if you could hit the enter the page down, you should see that the way we solve this is we bring in Tivoli Security Policy Manager. Those squares that represented the authorization policies that are coded directly in the application, instead, they move into Tivoli Security Policy Manager. TSPM is like many other Tivoli automation tools. It's centrally managing something that was done in a distributed environment previously. So prior to TSPM, they were having to go in and code these authorization policies in each application. Instead, we say, you know what, let's take the work away from the developers and the application themselves. Let's centrally manage those policies in a graphical interface way inside of TSPM. And now that we centrally have all those policies, those authorization policies in TSPM, we can then push those policies back out to the applications themselves. So less coding in the applications, less changes to the applications, and a means of centrally managing these policies within TSPM. And you can see down at the right what we've done with the red X is we've said, you know what, you no longer need to write these authorization policies into the applications themselves. All right, so let's go and provide you an example of this on slide 6. So MedImpact, and keep in mind, we wanted to include the client names in here because I always have a hard time following along when it just says a medical services company. So we wanted you to see that these are real clients that we sold for these use cases. But it is confidential. They have not agreed to be a reference. It's not fully deployed yet, so keep that in mind. So MedImpact is a general business client of only 1,500 employees in Southern California. Even though we showed on the previous slide this example of four applications, how we could centrally manage it, the interesting thing about MedImpact is they bought off on this idea for a single application. So it's not a matter that you need to go out and find customers that are developing multiple applications to have this challenge. It may be enough, it was in the case of MedImpact, that we were able to show them the value of, let's take one application you're currently developing that you need to go to market on in the next 3-6 months, and let's show you a way that we can expedite the development of that application by offloading any of this work associated with authorization and policy management. Let's go and move that over to TSPM. And that was enough of a business case for them to substantiate going with TSPM, as well as our identity and access management solutions. Other key element to consider here is that they were an Oracle database. It was an Oracle database application, and Active Directory was the user repositories. So this solution we found has been through the help of the architects like Sridhar and in development, we found that we're not limited by having to sell this, say, with certain solutions that are IBM based. It appears to be highly flexible and variable. So the other thing I want to point out on MedImpact that was a huge differentiator for us as well was, amazingly, was Tivoli Compliance Insight Manager. So we showed that as part of the overall package, and that was a huge differentiator for us relative to Oracle, who was our primary competition on this particular opportunity. So once again, this is an application security use case. In this case, it was only one application. Instead of them having to write the authorization policies in the application, we moved those over to TSPM. Sridhar, anything you want to add so far?
No, I think this is good, Jerry. We can keep going.
All right, very good. So I'm going to show you two other use cases on this that the business driver and the use case itself is the same for all three. It's just a different target is the only difference we're talking about. From a technical perspective, it's a different target, but they all basically had about the same issue. And so the next one, we're on slide 7, is let's take a portal example. So the portal is really just consolidation point for various applications. TSPM has the ability to, it's integrated with IBM portal as well as SharePoint portal. And notoriously, the challenge with portals is that it's similar to applications, right? You have to go in and rewrite or write specific authorization policies, and it's a pain. With TSPM, we could centrally manage that process. So it's no different than the application example. It's just saying now the integration point is to hook into portal instead of the application itself. On slide 8 was an example of a portal deal. This was very interesting from the standpoint that it started out as a portal opportunity against Oracle, and the customer, CyberSource, actually came to the coverage in the client team and said, okay, where's the security products in this? Oracle is offering a solution called Entitlements Management. What do you guys have to offer? And so we were brought into the deal later in the sales cycle. We were able to catch up, and then the takeaway on this was that the total license revenue for this GB customer ended up being $2.5 million, and Tivoli Security was the largest portion of the deal at $1.1 million. I think too many times we think that we are sort of a small element of solution is sometimes the impression by some people. And this was a real proof point that they couldn't have closed this without Tivoli Security. And Tivoli Security ended up being the largest element, the largest value of the overall solution. So this was a real proof point to go out and work with your WebSphere and Lotus Portal and others to look for these type of deals where you can latch on to them and show the value of TSPM and the rest of the portfolio. Okay, slide 9. So this is the third example and last example as it relates to the data and application. And here I've just taken out the portal and we've put in an ESB. So customers that are using an ESB, sometimes this problem becomes even more compounded because now instead of maybe four applications, they may have tens or hundreds of web services that are going between these applications. And you can imagine writing these authorization policies into the web services going back and forth. So let's go ahead and centrally manage those authorization policies by putting them into TSBM and integrating with the enterprise service bus. Slide 10 was an example of that. Encore, utilities company in Texas, moving over to smart metering. They had policy concerns such as, okay, if they're automating the process of monitoring electricity from a smart metering perspective of all the homes, is there risk that somebody at the central management data center could go in and shut down the grid and thus lose the company millions of dollars of lost electricity? So with our solution with Policy Manager, they could set policies such as, okay, if this person, based on their role, shouldn't be able to make those sort of wide-sweeping changes to the grid. Overall, Encore it wasn't just about policy management. It was about a complete business transformation. They ended up going with a suite of products to help them essentially manage security policy and protect data stores and address NERC for compliance. That suite of solutions was our Tivoli Security Suite, including TSBM, Westshear Data Power SOA Appliance, and then Westshear Service Registry and Repository. The total license revenue was $2.5 million. $850K of that was Tivoli Security. So that was the last one for data and application security. So I want to show you one last use case on this, on slide 11. This is a little bit different than the data and the application security that we've been talking about, the authorization security. For this use case, we're no longer talking about who can access what data specifically, but we're talking about message security. So, for example, up in the left side there, top left, we have an example of message security. One example could be is that if there's a message that's being transferred through web services, that message is encrypted if it's carrying credit card information. So this is no longer about providing individual access based on their role or based on certain criteria. This just gets down to the underlying message itself, that it should be encrypted. The key solution that we have in IBM, as you may know, for transferring message security is the data power boxes, the data power appliance, the XML gateway appliances, and that's what we have over on the right side there is the data power boxes. So they transfer these messages through web services and ensure that the things such as the message is encrypted and other sort of message security policies. The challenge is that if a customer has multiple data power boxes, they have to manually set those security policies. They have to administrate those security message policies on each of those boxes. So in the case of if the business comes down and says, you know what, all credit card information messages need to be encrypted, somebody needs to go in there and swivel their chair around and manually administrate those data power boxes one at a time. Okay, so go ahead and click on one button there, page down, and you can see that by adding Tivoli Security Policy Manager, this really isn't much different than the previous use cases we've seen. The only change is instead of authorization policies being centrally managed, we're now saying these security message policies are centrally managed. All right, anything to add there, Sridhar? Okay, seem we're good. On slide 12, this summarizes what we've talked about. You know, it looks like a lot of use cases, and so what we've tried to do is summarize to say, you know, we're really only talking about two use cases. One is data and application security policy. This is around authorization or fine-grained authorization, and we've shown you examples to integrate into an application, into a portal, and into an ESB. And then the second item is message security policy use case, which is integrating into XML firewalls and specifically data power. So really that's what you need to walk away with. I will tell you what we've seen realistically is that the data and application security policy use cases, we found a lot more opportunities for those than the message security policy use case. Although Encore, in addition to being an ESB example, was also a message security policy use case. And we see that as chasing after the message security policy use cases is a good way to go look for customers that have data power boxes that you might be able to sell message security policies and then also go in and preach the message of data and application security policy use case as well. Slide 13, so to summarize the value proposition of TSBM, make money, save money, stay out of jail. So In the case of MedImpact, we were able to help them have a quicker time to market for their application so they can start making money on that application. We're going to save them money because we're going to decrease the development costs. They don't have to build all those authorization policies into the application itself, and help keep them out of jail by increasing the compliance by centrally managing authorization. So you can see the nice GUI over to the right there, how you're centrally managing policies, and to be able to more easily manage it, you're not just looking at some sort of Java code or C++ code on the policy itself. It's a written graphical representation of the policy, and it provides you the auditability, if that's a word, over the policies itself. Okay, slide 14. So the sort of customers that you want to go target is application development. So you see key to this is if they're developing applications internally, such as Tomcat, WebSphere, .NET, that they have content-rich applications. This is another area that I know Ravi and Sridhar are seeing a lot of interest worldwide, is the idea is that FileNet, even though it's an out-of-the-box application, it takes a fair amount of development, and there's a tremendous amount of data. If you're familiar with FileNet, what that does and the amount of data and information it contains. So it's a content-rich application that Ravi and Sridhar are working with the FileNet team on to be able to provide policy management over the various apps within FileNet. And then TAMI-B customers. By virtue of them being a TAMI-B customer, they're probably developing applications. And this really is sort of the next evolution, taking them beyond just getting into the app itself, but making policy decisions at a fine-grained level. Look for portal deployment. So we talked about CyberSource and how we were able to attach on to that deal. What I'd like to see is that we go out and find the portal deals much sooner in the process so we're not playing catch-up. But I see tremendous opportunity to latch on to those customers that already have portals or that they're looking at portal. ESB opportunities, such as WebSphere, TIBCO, and Open Source. You know, we put all three in here because this product is not just limited to working with WebSphere. I think we've had more opportunities come up with open source ESBs than we have with WebSphere. So look for those customers that have web services and ESB and how we can help them out. Mention that those are, in the case of Encore, it was interesting because this deal was actually led by GBS. And so we've got GBS in here as a focus area. Steve Meyer in North Central recently came to us and said, hey, he talked to his GBS brethren, and they're developing an application at one of his clients, and now we're looking at TSPM. So GBS is out there working on these ESB deals. They're reengineering applications for customers, and so that's a fine area to go talk to them about the sort of applications they're reengineering for customers and how we can help out GBS like we did at Encore. And the last one is XML firewalls. So this is for the message security, looking for data power customers or potential data power opportunities. One or two boxes, not low-hanging fruit. But you know what? If they've got five or six boxes, they're spending a decent amount of time adjusting message security. That's a fine place to go position TSPM. Slide 15. So who cares within the target customer? Even though this slide has a lot of words, I like it because this is dead on. This is who you're talking to. You've got a compliance officer and security officer that are concerned about policy questions. You have an integration architect and a developer who's actually having to go figure out how to transform these business policies into technical changes in the code. And then you have IT operations on the back end that's managing and enforcing consistently in operations. As Sridhar could tell you, MedImpact, we had a representative from each of these groups in the room in one of the initial presentations. And so the message of TSPM worked for all of them, but they were interested in it for different reasons. And so it was interesting to see a representative from each of these groups and how we can make their lives easier, that we were able to preach to the compliance officer and the security officer that, hey, you know what, let's take this, let's lower your overall internal cost so that the application developers don't have to keep sending you bills for changes to policies. Let's make it easier for you to centrally manage these policies when the auditors come in. The architects and the developers really liked it because we told them about how, look, let's go ahead and decrease your workload and let's take away something that really is more of a business issue that the business people should focus on and be able to centrally manage policy so you can focus on working on the application development and not focus on the authorization policies. So if I was out there and I'm looking for specific people to go talk to ask the qualifying questions that we're going to get to next, personally I would be focusing on people like VP of Application Development, showing them how we can decrease their overall cost by providing them a solution. And I'd be talking to line of businesses that are rolling out new endeavors such as new applications or new portals or new ESBs and talking to them from a business perspective on how we could help. Slide 16, qualifying questions. So once again, you know, this is one of the key things that I hope you guys take away from this presentation. You know, there's a lot of information here, but the key to me is understand the business value of what we're providing and how we solve it back on slide 5, and understand what are the sort of questions that you want to go ask. And so, first of all, are you concerned with data security? This is a pretty broad question, but everybody's concerned with data security, so it's kind of a nice icebreaker. Next one is, do you require deeper access control? So do you need fine-grained authorization or data-level control for applications, or it could be portals, it could be web services, it's all interchangeable. And are you interested in a solution that can decrease your development timeline and cost by centralizing authorization policy instead of rewriting policies into the application themselves? And the other qualifying question, and this is specific to the message security use case with DataPower, would you benefit by centrally managing the message security policies of your DataPower boxes instead of one box at a time? Okay? I know I read directly from the slide there, but it's all there. Okay, slide 17. There's a few vendors here that are dabbling in this space, but you know, we're really only seeing one or two consistently. Oracle, I think we saw on every deal, and happy to say we destroyed them on every deal. The thing that they're really weak in and missing out of their product is they obtained a product called Entitlements Management in their acquisition of BEA, and the thing is that they're really weak in enterprise-level deployment support. Product, decent with BEA from a portal perspective, pretty weak when it comes to overall enterprise-level deployment, and customers saw that pretty quickly as we went through things like POCs and RFPs. Cisco, they have a product that they acquired through an acquisition of Securent. I think we saw them in one deal, but the customer didn't really take Cisco seriously because they're considered really a network company and not a identity and access management solution. So by going in and offering the overall suite of identity management, access management, and the integration with TSPM, they didn't really go far in that opportunity. And so those fall under what we'll call the data and application security. For message security, there's companies out there like Layer 7, TIBCO, and SOA Software. These companies compete with WebSphere's data power. So companies like Layer 7, TIBCO, and SOA Software, there are certain things that compete with data power, and we can really differentiate ourselves by working with data power to say, here's the overall solution for message security. Data power with their XML firewall will provide the enforcement of the message security, and we'll centrally manage it to decrease the administrative cost. All right, so once again, we're seeing, I'd say, more opportunities right now in the data and application security than the message security. That could be a matter of who we're selling to. Okay, just about finished here, a couple more slides. Pricing, what I like to just say is, you know, in summary, reach out to your security sales leader and or Ravi for pricing help on this. You know, the reality, what I've seen is that it does take, you know, when you look at identity and access management, you can go off and ask the question, how many users do you have? And, you know, you can pretty much get there. In the case of this solution, because it is based on PBU, there is a little bit of intelligence that needs to go in there. Maybe not intelligence, but research on, you know, what is it they want to do with the product, so we can do sort of a high-level architecture to derive the number of PBUs. With that, usually we can take a stab at least an initial estimate. And I've seen this product, you know, priced anywhere from, you know, $200,000 to $700,000 to give you a sense of the opportunity. But the real value that we've seen is that selling them TSPM in the three scenarios we mentioned above also dragged in the rest of the product suite. All right, slide 19, the last slide. So who can help you? Security sales leader. Robbie and Sridhar have been awesome on their support and assistance on the deals. I don't want to overwhelm them too much, but they were just amazing on these. And Ray Newcomb, I know, has been helping out in the opportunity in Spain, and John has helped us in opportunity in a couple areas, San Diego and Salt Lake City. So advise that, you know, first work with your IT specialist to gauge their level of experience in this product, and then when you have it qualified sufficiently, that those some individuals you can reach out to for additional assistance. And down at the bottom is the sales kit links. So with that, I think we're going to wrap this up somewhat quickly. Is Sridhar, before we move on to Q&A, do you have any additional insights or thoughts you'd like to add?
I think I'm looking forward for Q&A, but I think one closing comment is the key thing that Jerry mentioned is the audience that you're selling to, right? One of the big differences with TSPM application and data entitlements, while there are different players, you know, from compliance and applications, the business wants to get involved with making these policies. So one of the things that TSPM provides is the ability for business to be involved in creating these policies and enforcing it, as opposed to traditionally how we do identity and access management, which is where we sell at the operations level. So your WebSphere reps are your best friends, right? I mean, that's who understand the applications really well, and that's who have worked with the existing customers in their application space and will be able to better identify the needs for the customers.
I would agree with that, Sridhar. That's perfect. Mm-hmm. All right. So at this time, we'd like to go ahead and open up the lines for questions and answers.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. If anyone would like to ask a question at this time, please press star 1. You will be prompted to record your name. To withdraw your question, you may press star 2. Once again, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1. One moment, please, for our first question. Our first question comes from Alex Rivera. Your line is open.
Hey, Alex, go ahead.
Please check your mute button.
Hi, sorry, yes, I was on mute. Thank you. Jerry, great job, and thank you for the analogy of the Octomom and people snooping around the hospital. I get that. That really helps, because like you said, this is, for most reps, I think this is something that you know, we need some more education on. I appreciate this. Real easy question. This sounds kind of similar to separation of duty technologies like Approva and vendors like that, and I do see a lot of my customers investing in these kind of technologies for key applications like SAP. Can you compare and contrast policy manager to SOD tools, please?
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and kick most of the – no, I can answer that. I think Sridhar is so much more articulate than I am, so I'm going to – pass over a lot of the questions over to him. Sridhar, why don't you go ahead if you want to tackle this one. I could add something
sure.
to it afterwards.
Yeah, Alex, the tools like Approva, SailPoint, Avesca, and even, you know, Vayu from the Sun acquisition, they all do what we call the role management and the ability to assign entitlements to that. This is at a higher level of abstraction. The better way of describing what TSPM does is context-level authorization, meaning being able to provide the right set of information for the right reason, for the right purpose. This is something that most of these vendors don't do. And as a part of our strategy, what we're doing is we're trying to bring roles and entitlements together so that you can not only say who is doing what, but what somebody is able to do within that resource. And products like Approva and all pretty much stop at who is doing what within a specific application. Now, going back to your SOD, that's coming mostly from a role-based access, right, in terms of the doctors and nurses and, you know, who can do what and under what context. authorization, if you look at it, if you look at it from a role-based perspective, that works. But for the most part, authorization within the application is context-sensitive. That means it is not only that, you know, doctors can look at a certain patient information, but under what context, whether you are a primary care physician or you're the emergency doctor working on that patient in an emergency room, or, you know, this is Katrina, you know, I want to approve all claims under $5,000, regardless of the conditions, et cetera. So there's a context which plays into big play over here. That's how TSPM differentiates, in addition to providing separation of duty capabilities.
Thank you. That helps.
You know, I'll tell you, Sridhar, it's probably fair to say that that's, if you're going up head-to-head against Apruva, you know, or SAP or Oracle Logical Apps, that we're probably in the wrong spot here. You know, I mean, they're really focused very narrowly on the ERP applications themselves. And, you know, I think that that's all that we can do it, and we can work with those ERP apps. I think you're better suited to go look for other content-rich apps such as FileNet and in-house developed applications and portals and ESPs and things we talked about on the call. Yeah, would you agree with that, Sridhar?
Yeah, no, I would. And most of it depends on the use cases, right? Like, there's a lot of customers who went and deployed similar products like Apruva, and as well as entitlements products like Securin. You know, Cigna is a good example of that. State Street is another example of that. As well as they have a identity management and access management solution. The challenge is trying to put them under one umbrella and have them work together so that we provide some level of compliance back to the business, and being able to do that from business as a driver as opposed to another technical tool to do roles.
That's a good point, across the breadth of the enterprise as opposed to a silo. All right, perfect.
Yeah.
Let's go and open up for the next question.
Our next question comes from Brian Cummings. Your line is open, sir.
Thank you.
Hey, Brian, go ahead.
How are you doing? Yeah, my question concerns the integration. It looks like, or as I understand, Tivoli Security Policy Manager integrates or is set to integrate with WebSphere Application Server and Data Power. But if you want to go elsewhere, you need an API.
Great. So the TSPM addresses four patterns. In some cases, you're right. In some cases, the main principles are, number one is we try to integrate at the container level. That means if there is a standard for integration, like at .NET, we have appropriate mechanisms to integrate. We have mechanisms to integrate at the SharePoint level. J2E is another specification. Then the other level of integration is like you said, Data Power or any proxy kind of mechanism. And the third level is at the database level, which is you can modify the application. You can front-end that with something like Data Power, so you may have to make some changes at the data level. And in some cases, you write that if there is not a standard way of doing it, then TSPM publishes an API, which has both a Java as well as a C flavor, as well as web services to cater to a number of different use cases. But where there is a standard, we definitely want to work with the standard as much as possible.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, I would add to that, Brian, that, you know, we didn't shy away because we were concerned about lack of integration today. You know, made impact. Ultimately, these guys were able to integrate, you know, with a job application with an Oracle database behind it. So I didn't, you know, I kind of feel my perspective on it is it's almost getting too deep when I start asking questions about whether it can integrate or not. I'm going to go out and find the problem first, go out and find the challenge that the customer has, and then let's figure out later whether, you know, it makes sense if there's a business case behind going and doing the integration for it. Because these guys, although they probably don't like me saying that this too much, that we do have the ability to go out if the business case is there and integrate with these things. That's what we did. All right, let's go and open up for the next question.
Our next question is from Chris Fields. Your line is open.
Hey, Jerry. Great presentation.
Thanks, Chris.
I wanted to get a little bit more, and this is probably, you know, not to go too deep into technical details, but to get an authorization, you're talking about ultimately attaching some, you know, part of a message such that, you know, TSPM can look at that, inspect it, and then make the appropriate decision. Is there a general way to characterize how TSPM, you know, expects, you know, that message to be, you know, formatted or augmented to give clients a better idea of, you know, what type of technical integration we're really asking either them or, you know, us as consultants to come in and make to their applications?
Sure. Sridhar, do you want to take that one?
I'm not sure completely followed. Are you saying that what is the format of the message in the sense the actual policy being delivered, or are you talking about the message as in the verbal message that you want to deliver to the customers?
Oh, no, the actual policy. So,
okay.
For TSPM to be able to make its decision, what, you know,
okay,
what in general are you having to modify in the message itself?
Okay. So the policies themselves are based on, at least for message protection and data and I'm sorry, at least for application and data protection, the policies are in a standard called XACML. XACML is another way of saying it. And a number of products understand that, like including data power and where products don't understand it, we provide an enforcement point. And these enforcement points intercept that message. Like let's say if you have a request going from your portal to a back-end web service, just as an example. So products like data power would intercept that message and then apply this policy by looking into the content of the message without having to modify the application. So for the most part, we try to not have to change the application as much as possible. This goes back to a question earlier on. In three of the four patterns that I discussed, we try not to change the application. But in cases where the application has to be modified, then we suggest that while building an application, we recommend, you know, leveraging the native security of the application server that they're writing their application to. Or in cases that they can't, we say that rather than coding the application security within the application, we recommend that they externalize as much as possible. And for externalizing, we provide the appropriate interfaces that they can call.
All right. Let's go and I think end it there, because I think I'm even – it's probably a little bit over my head. And so, you know, it's magic for you guys on the phone there. So, all right, great. Thanks a lot, Chris. And why don't we follow up with you separately, right, because I know your technical background, you want to get a little bit deeper into the product, which is great. We want you out there selling it. And so let's take that the rest of that offline. We can get more – detailed, you know, from a technical perspective.
No problem. Thanks.
With that, let's move on to the next question.
Our next question comes from Mr. Daniel Cron. Your line is open.
Hey, Daniel.
Hello. I'm in services. I don't want to dig in too deep. That's not the purpose of this call, but I wanted to understand conceptually from Sridhar about roles. Realistically, the value proposition is if you have an integration between IAM and Tivoli Security Policy Manager, ITIM has the idea of roles and matching entitlements to that that goes down to the endpoints, but Tivoli Security Policy Manager is like a fine tune on those same roles, or is it?
Yeah, let me go ahead and take this one, and I think you pretty much answered your own question 90% of the way, is that Tim is setting up the roles. So Tim is saying, okay, there's a role of a doctor, and Tim says you have another role of an insurance agent. We can take those roles and use it with Tivoli Security Policy Manager, so now the role's filled in. TSPM says if it's a doctor, which has been filled in because of the role management done by Tim, then it's going to be this policy. If it's the insurance agent, then it's going to be a different policy.
Okay.
And there is integration between TIM and TSPM, Dan, where, as you are aware, TIM 5.1 supports hierarchical roles, as well as the notion of additional roles in top of organizational roles. So you can actually create a business role and put some governance or workflow around it. As a part of that, an appropriate role in TSPM can be created, and the associates and permissions with that. So by virtue of certifying somebody in the role of a doctor, which grants that user to a specific LDAP group or application, you're actually able to see what a doctor can do within the application under what context. So hence providing a report which encompasses both TIM and TSPM capability into a single report.
So, I shouldn't go in this too deep, but if you have role doctor over in TIM, you could have doctor A, B, C, and D over in the TSPM to define different levels of doctors or physician assistants.
You can have the same role in TSPM. That way we have a consistent way, but you can have permissions associated with that which provide a final level of granularity of what that doctor can do. So what you're doing for the benefit of the rest of the folks is you're using TIM to do the governance around role management and identity and access management, i.e., who gets to be in the role of a doctor, how do you onboard and offboard that user, how do you approve that, how do you certify it, and how do you suspend. This is a life cycle around not just the user, but its association with the role. Whereas TSPM provides the life cycle around what sort of permissions can that doctor do within a specific application X. And by providing them together, you are providing a further reach for the administrator to add users to specific roles and with the knowledge of what they can do specifically within the scope of the role and within the scope of an application. And a report which encompasses both of those is quite powerful, where you can say that give me a list of, or rather, you know, an individual has access to a specific role and what he can do within that role and in what context he can do that role, basically. So the point I was trying to make is I think individually both TIM and TSPM have value. Together, they have a lot more value which address what we call the IAM governance solution that we're pursuing.
And so, yeah, I would agree with Sridhar is that the integration there and the overall story is very impressive and very tight, and that's why we were able to drag the other products into these opportunities. You know, MedImpact, once again, started with TSPM, and we were able to show the value of the overall story. But I'd also advise do not shy away from those customers that already have, let's call it basic identity and access management, because this product can operate by itself as well to sell into those clients. Okay, I think we have time for maybe another question or two.
Our next question comes from Dinesh Gada. Your line is open.
Hey, Dinesh.
Hi, Jerry. Sridhar. Great presentation, by the way. A quick question. Do you see any overlap with the iLog acquisition we did recently in IBM, the rule management tool? Does any overlap, and if so, how do you position this question?
I know Sridhar is looking at iLog. Go ahead, Sridhar.
iLog provides the business rules, Dinesh. So it is outside the context of security and does not have the capability for enforcement of these policies. So from an application perspective, while iLog provides a lifecycle around creating business rules, it's the responsibility of the application to code their application to leverage these rules. Whereas TSPM provides a security focus around that and actually provides the enforcement, whether it's a data power, whether it's a web sphere, whether it's .NET, or databases. So what we've done is we do have integration where you can define business rules within iLog and leverage that within TSPM so that you can define a policy within TSPM which will consult the iLog JRules business rule and enforce it at runtime. There's actually a white paper in the works to do the positioning. This is the agreed positioning within AIM and Tivoli where iLog will continue to do the business rules, and part of the business rules could be created as security policies. If you need more information, Dinesh, let me know, and I can point you to the demos and stuff like that. And then to close on that comment, there's bound to be overlaps. Even if it's not technical, there's bound to be overlaps at the sales level. I mean, we all have experience from TFIM and DataPower, PAM and Portal. You know, you're bound to see TSPM and iLog. Just like, you know, DataPower is a Swiss Army knife, you know, given enough engineers and given XSL, one can do a lot of things. You can do a number of things within iLog JRules as well. The question is, what is the individual product optimized for? And it's good to go back to and refer to the positioning whenever in doubt.
Oh, great. Thanks, Doc.
Okay. Thanks, Dinesh.
We have no other questions at this time.
Okay. Perfect. All right. Well, once again, thanks to everybody for attending the call today, and please feel free to follow up with me or the other security sales leaders and Robbie or Sridhar for more technical questions that you have. And good luck selling. Thanks again.
Thank you. Thanks, all.
This now concludes our conference for the day. You may-